Go ahead. Speak.
Okay, buenas tardes.
There we go.
Okay.
How are you?
I'm very well. How are you, Santiago?
Very good, very good. Here we are with a group of friends, journalists, as I told you, a specialist in cable TV, in new media, and in entertainment. So we're really happy to have this opportunity to discuss and talk with you.
Great.
So do you, just the first question is, do you know Mexico? Have you ever had a chance to know Mexico?
Of course, I've been to Mexico, and as you know, in the last year alone, also to Buenos Aires a couple of times, as well as to Sao Paulo.
Okay, great. So you get the chance to eat a burrito here.
We
do you serve your burrito sometime?
Yes, of course. Not to forget the lomo and the picanha in Brazil.
Okay. So let me start by asking you about your future participation in the World Innovation Forum in New York. I already told we're having that big show. In that stage in New York, you're sharing a space with some other digital minds. Such as Seth Godin or Biz Stone, the founder of Twitter. So my question there is, would you give us an advance of what are the thoughts that you're going to share in New York with your audience?
Sure. You know that I'm a data guy. So from a data perspective, many companies think that they're doing something in terms of analysis of data, but people don't know what they don't know. And what most companies don't know is what I call social data, the power of social data. You mentioned Twitter with Biz Stone. The fact that every minute 100,000 tweets get created, 100,000 units of information get spread out in the world where people knowingly and willingly share information about themselves, about their relationship with companies, that is new. And I'm going to talk about the insights, what companies can get out of social data.
Okay, that's fantastic. So, you know, we're gonna have the World Innovation Forum in Management TV, so we really look forward to see your participation there. And regarding that, let me tell you, We like to have this important conference in Management TV because we feel...
So I believe there are two key issues which need to be addressed by any company's innovation agenda. Mobile and cloud.
Mobile
and the cloud, like cloud computing. Okay. Mobile means that we have data collection devices all of us carry with us 24 hours a day. They know about the context, the situation we are in, for example, the quality of my voice right now, and they allow us to annotate our world. That wonderful bottle of Malbec we had in Buenos Aires, or that girl from Ipanema. The other one is cloud, which makes it much easier for companies to actually take advantage of computation, of storage, wherever you are. Amazon is a beautiful example of making things which were developed state-of-the-art at Amazon.com and making those things available for anybody in the world for very little money. Now, those innovations don't come every 2 years. I would think they come more like every 10 years. The last big one was social, Facebook being an example, and the one before was search. And if you think about the magnitude, how search has changed the world in the 90s, how social has changed the world in the 2000s, you can get a glimpse of how I think mobile and cloud will change the world in this decade.
Okay, we'll take note of that, of those two trends. You, after your experience in Amazon, you achieved a very interesting concept, which is named Social Data Revolution. Will you explain us a little bit what is exactly Social Data Revolution?
Absolutely, would be happy to explain that to you. So social means sharing. And since you mentioned Amazon.com, Sharing there means that people share reviews about books, for instance, but also people share their desires and a wish list. That is the amount of sharing. And what's new is that it's sharing not only to a company, C2B, but it's really sharing to their friends, C2C, and sharing to the world, C2W. Social data revolution. Let's talk about the data. Everything is data. And what is not data yet will be data soon. Like who you click at a dating site. That is an example of data. Your implicit wishes will be made explicit. And revolution? Well, of course, the question is, how does the mind of the customer change? What do people expect in exchange to giving social data to companies? And that's where the real difference is. It's not the technology. It is how people now have different expectations towards companies.
Are you working on some kind of book regarding your field of expertise and this concept? Are you working on something like a book?
Well, a book is interesting because a book is like a modern day business card. So the answer is yes. But if you reflect on the world we live in, it really is more the atomization of information. You mentioned again, Bistone coming, the World Innovation Forum in New York, and the atomization of having small pieces of information created for free and distributed for free. That is really where the innovation lies. And that means not only that it's free, but it's also real time. Since we have been talking, there have been probably 50 million searches, all of them giving little bits of information back. Atomization of little bits, getting people that information in the right parcel, what they need at a given point in time. Most companies don't realize that yet. They still print nice brochures. They still don't have the idea of having a bi-directional communication with the customer where the customer shares with them what the customer is interested in.
I was going to ask you that, you know, I understand that for some companies it's an obvious thing that they need to work on social networking and this bright concept of social data revolution. But do you think this is a practice that is for every kind of company or for just for some of them?
Of course, not for every kind of company. For example, when Siemens, the German company, sells a nuclear power plant to China, there is relatively little social data involved. Now think about which airline you want to take. There, immediately, as soon as the end user, the end customer is part of the game, the information actually matters. That you can find more information about how comfortable the seats are on airplanes on the web than any airline knows by themselves. Or even to take you to the hotel, there's a site which describes individual hotel rooms. And then finally, there's a beautiful symmetry coming up that the customers actually help the companies help the customers. Those companies that embrace that symmetry will be doing well. For example, when you made your reservation, maybe with Mexicana, they probably recorded that call for you. Why would they not offer to you to say, hey, if you want to listen to the call we just made again, here would be the link to the MP3 file. So it's about thinking out of the box, and what I do with companies, and that's why I'm speaking the World Innovation Forum, is helping them realize those things they don't even know exist, how they can change their business models and how they can change their way of having relationships with their customers.
And let me ask you something. In your experience, you know, companies have been gathering data for years, for decades. What is the point in which obstacles companies need to overcome to move from collecting data to a scenario of using data to do business, to do better business or better service?
Historically, in the last years, we have moved from data sparseness to to data abundance. So that means companies that apply the old way of thinking about data are now caught in what we call analysis paralysis. That they don't even know what to look at. They sit on these data tombs, but they don't know where to start. My advice is start with something which you actually can do. Start with an action. Try out this action in comparison to another action. And that way, you don't have to worry about all the data that is sitting there and you don't know what to do with them, but you worry about what matters to the business. Now, for that to be successful, you have to have certain metrics in place. You have to know whether doing this versus doing that actually does better. So starting with the problem, coming up with small actions, and then constantly learning, learning in real time, is where companies need to go.
I'm getting here a question from the audience regarding your prior experience in Amazon. Someone is quoting that in a prior interview, you mentioned that when people ask you for advice online, a lot of times you basically recommend to simply copy Amazon.
So let me unpack your question. There were three elements to your question. Whether Amazon is worth copying, then the second one is actually what is Amazon, and the third one is about the online market. So why did I say it is a good idea to copy Amazon? Because Amazon has carried out thousands, if not 10,000s of experiments. And that means that whatever you see there is really the best way of doing it as according to the metrics Amazon has. The second point is, Amazon actually has three customer groups. One customer group is the end user, companies who sell stuff at Amazon.com, and it is technologists who use Amazon.com's services.
How was your experience working with such a guy such as Jeff Bezos? Would you tell us briefly what you think about him and the experience you developed working with him?
Jeff is an absolute delight to work with. What I really enjoyed is I think every single meeting with Jeff, I left more empowered, more happy, more upbeat than, you know, before going in. So I think one of the amazing things besides being an extremely smart person that he has is that from his personality, he just brings the best out of people. And that brings us back actually to hear the social data revolution, the impact of business. The fact that we used to have big packages, you know, like an employment relationship, is a thing of the past. Modern companies try to bring in just whatever people are good at, and they make them shine in this. The future of journalism is a good example, which is dramatically being changed. By the way, this snackable information, these bite-sized pieces of information, and the free communication, that I think is the way to think about the future of innovation and the future of work.
The question here that one lady is bringing is, what kind of segment of online business is still a potential discovery? Because it's something that has never been created. What kind of new segment opportunities you see in online retailing, right?
I think it's a question that actually reflects the past, because everything has an online component to it, even buying, you know, cars. So what I would like to invite you to is, if you think about opportunities, then please think about opportunities that bridge the digital and the physical, so that build that connection, this online world to the offline world. For example, as you go into your local supermarket, if you have an iPhone, then there's an application where you can just snatch a picture of an object and it tells you how much that object would cost at other shops. I don't think it is just new online opportunities, but it really is embracing for whatever your specific business is in. Embracing the fact that the distinction between online and offline has disappeared. And as I said at the beginning, mobile is one of the key drivers for innovation in the next couple of years. So think about how you get people to actually collect data for you that ultimately, of course, you can give them value back. That is the social data revolution.
Okay, Andreas, we really, really thank you and appreciate your time and your willingness to share your insights and ideas with us. We really apologize with you and le pido disculpas a los asistentes for the delays, por las demoras que tuvimos. But thank you very much.
Well, it was my pleasure. Thank you, Santiago, and the audience, thank you for your good questions.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.